from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And he's obviously a really good player, and he's now a Sixer, signed here a few weeks ago, and he's going to introduce him today. Earlier today, unveiled Tyrese Maxey. Let him have a little moment with the media, Hugh, after his max contract extension. I don't know if there's any player in the city people unequivocally like more than Tyrese Maxey right now.
Yeah, he's a good dude, man. I mean, he plays hard. He's the embodiment of Philadelphia right now, in my opinion.
And he earned that money. I mean,
yes,
he got better and better and better, the most approved player in the NBA. So, again, congrats to Tyrese, who got a little press conference earlier with his max extension. And coming up in a few minutes, we'll hear from Paul George. It's the first time we really going to get to know Paul George. For his guy that's been in the league
for as long as he's been in it,
14 years. I think He was drafted in 2010, and he's made 9 All-Star teams. I feel like Paul George is almost like anonymous.
Well, relatively unknown, trying to be disrespectful, but as far as like knowing him intimately, relatively unknown.
For the star he is, right?
Yeah.
Like for the level of player he is, I feel like I know very little about him. I know he has his podcast now, and we played some clips from that when he signed here, about that process of coming here, but I don't know much about Paul George.
No.
He's a good player. He's been a good player for a long time. He's been on some good teams. That's part of it, too. He's never played in the finals, right? Like, we've never seen him on the biggest stage.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to hear from Paul George coming up in a few minutes here as we get to know the newest Sixer. Joe in the Northeast is up. Hey, Joe.
Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Joe. What's
going on, Joe?
Okay. I got an email about, the trade deadline and certain positions that teams had available. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, they're talking about Randy Rosarena, but they were also talking about they're interested in dealing Zach Eflin and another player. I forget the name.
I think some of their relievers could be available, like Jason Adam or Pete Fairbanks, some of those guys.
Yeah, well, taking Eflin. Eflin got a 3-year, $40 million contract from them. He's on his second year. And this year and next year, he's getting $11 million. I would, I really want Ryan Presley from Houston, and I still think the Phillies could get him. You know, I have a lot of the hosts and have said, oh, well, why is Houston going to trade when they're in there? Because they have holes. Just like, why are the Phillies trading? And we're 7 games ahead. We have holes. So, with Phillips pitching that well, Houston needs starting pitching, but why not get Eflin? You remember if he is available, bring him back because he pitched out of the bullpen for us. Remember after the injury, was it in 2022?
Well, he did a good job. I mean, he closed the game that put them in the playoffs. I believe he was the pitcher on the mound that clinched the playoff spot.
Right. I mean, he's got a below 500 record. He's like 5-6 this year with a 4.414 ERA. But the thing is, he's got over 100 innings pitched. He only walked 13 guys.
Yeah, his strikeout-to-walk ratio is excellent.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, he's not going to walk people. And he's not going to be, if you need a big strikeout, he's not a power pitcher, But I'm saying there. And Joe, for the lineup, people say about, getting a right-handed bat to go with Marsh. But if you do that, you still got the hole in center field, a light hitting there. So your ideal thing is to have Marsh platooning with Rojas, or I would go after these two guys, and Ricky Ricardo was left. He said, Joe, you want to rob these teams. How about Ian Happ from the Cubs?
Oh, I'd love Ian Happ. Switch hitter, Joe.
And Kevin Pillar from the Angels. This way you have Happ out there as your everyday left fielder. Pillar can platoon with Marsh, and Rojas be what Pache is. Comes in for defense and pinch run.
Joe, I like this. I'm sure you've probably looked at the numbers because you went into it. Kevin Pillar crushes lefties. I think he's hitting like 370 against them. He's like the perfect platoon guy.
Right, and he's a good defensive. He's not as good as Rojas, but he's just as good as Pache playing defense. That would give them some versatility. And, you know, Pache is a nice guy. You can see that the team really likes him. But you got to let him go and let Rojas take his role, you know. So that's what I would, a safe way. And you would have with Hap, you know, even Hap can even play the infield. He doesn't play that well because when they had that Super Joe Maddon, the great manager there, he had him playing second base.
Yeah, he was all over the place. Then I remember that.
Yeah, and he was playing second, and his range to the left, the Phillies hit two balls right in the hole, and they came back and won that game, and he hadn't taken him out, but he also can play the infield, too, you know.
Yeah, I like him. Well, yeah. He's versatile. He's a switch hitter, which would obviously help any lineup. Joe, I like those names. Joe, good phone call. Joe just solved all their problems with a couple trades there.
We asked him already, did he have a whiteboard? Because that's a lot of information.
I think
that's
he's more of a notebook guy, if I had to guess. You think he's a yellow pad, white pad?
I would say yellow pad. Yellow old pad. School. I feel like he's a little bit old school.
So if you had to use a pad for your notes, would you go yellow pad, white pad, or notebook style?
I would probably go white because I make a lot of mistakes. So it's like, you know, and I like to erase stuff. I like to write in pencil, too.
Here's my issue with the yellow or the white legal pad. And Angelo used to use the yellow legal pad. And I think Ray Dittinger would as well. Like, so I have a notebook I use sometimes, but I put it back in my backpack, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're using the white or yellow legal pad, the front page rips off.
It gets a little frilly.
So you you can't go back on old notes. You use a notebook.
Your old notes.
So I've kind of transitioned over the years to more of my phone or the laptop. But mm-hmm.
You like to go back and look at your like old notes and stuff like that.
Yeah, but when I first started doing this, I used to do it in a notebook, and I still have some of the old notebooks.
Okay.
And I look back and like, what the heck was I talking about that day? But. So Joe just devised a plan there, if you picked up on that, Hugh. He's trying to get Ian Happ to be an everyday guy. He wants Pilar. He's trying to take your guy Rojas right out of the mix.
Yeah, he did. He did. But that's a lot of moving parts with a team that is obviously built off of the chemistry that they have. And you know, that's one of the reasons why I was kind of curious when the guy was talking about Topper was a bad manager. But what was the manager before him? And how did you view the Phillies when Topper came in and started this new culture wave, and the Phillies start winning? I'm always curious about that. When people talk about how bad the manager is, or in this situation, how bad Topper is. And when you look at baseball before Topper was the manager, it was irrelevant. So I just found that kind of curious.
Yeah, I think Topper's almost a victim of people just now say the team is great and he doesn't get they weren't great before he got here.
I don't understand that. I don't understand how a fan of the Phillies, like, and when I say fan, I'm talking about somebody who's been going to a lot of games and knows this team intimately. How can you sit there and discredit what Topper has done when for like, what, outside of the last 3 years that you had, the last 8 years, six, seven, 8 years, baseball has not been the talk of the town here in this city.
I mean, it was over a decade. I mean,
So help me understand your rationale when you say things like that.
Yeah, I don't. The only time that I think people combine the last two Octobers and want to blame him. I don't have any blame at all for what happened in 2022. They overachieved. They were the last team to make the playoffs. They made the World Series. They took a 2-1 lead on the Astros. The Astros were better. I mean, I'm very comfortable saying the Astros were better. The Phillies were not the better team. Now, last October, that was disappointing the way it ended. The Arizona thing was disappointing because they were better than Arizona.
And don't get it misunderstood. I'm not saying that you can't criticize the moves that he's made. I'm not saying that. But when you talk about, I think people tend to forget what it was and what now it is. And you have to give, like, that's him. You have to give him credit for that. Regardless if you like his moves or not, you can question his moves. But when you talk about the overall culture of this baseball team, give that man his credit because he is the catalyst. He's the patriarch of the culture that you're enjoying baseball at, about, and all this other good stuff. So I think you should give him his props on that.
Well, the other thing is he's overseen. You know, it's one thing to say, well, yeah, they gave him Bryce Harper, they gave him Trey Turner. They're like, those are good players, no matter where they play, right? But he's overseen the growth of some young guys here. Alec Bohm has become an all-star under.
Yeah. Under his tutelage, yeah.
Christopher Sanchez, well, Ranger Suarez. All right, we're going to get to the Paul George press conference right now. Here it is.
And, just want to thank Paul George and the George family. For choosing Philly, obviously it's not very often that a franchise is can land a player of Paul's caliber, you know, someone that is a future Hall of Famer, and clearly we with Joel, with Tyrese, with Nick as our coach, we are all in. We're all in for this city. And to get Paul to choose Philly, he had many options. I can't tell you how appreciative we are. And, you know, honestly, to the fans, you were part of it. You know, all of the love and the outpouring and the news, we put it all on a video. You know, I got a chance to bring Dr. J. And so, like, the city of Philly really showed quite well. And thank you guys. And thank the George family. And thank you, Paul, for choosing us. Very much appreciated.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank Josh and ownership for giving us the resources. We mentioned it at Tyrese's press conference. I want to thank him again for, being patient and allowing us to have the ability to add Paul. And I want to reiterate what Josh said about we've learned pretty quickly that when you get a great player like Paul George, you also get his great family, who is here today, who we got the privilege to meet during the free agency process and since, and they're already all in on Philly and very excited. but look, we're all here to win. I know Paul's here to win. Nick, myself, Elton Brand, ownership, Joel, Tyrese. This is about, ultimately, this is about putting three really, really great players together and how well Paul fits with those players. I think ultimately, I'll let Paul talk about how he made his decision, but I know he's hungry to win, just like the fans of Philadelphia. And he saw this as the best place where he had a chance to win.
So me?
To you. Yeah. All you. It's your podcast host.
They don't want to hear from us.
just thank Josh and Daryl for this opportunity. Definitely look forward to coming to Philly. My family look forward to it. We felt that this was the best and next step in the phase of my career. I thought everything just aligned perfectly where they're at and where they're trying to go and where I'm trying to get to as well. I think we got a real legitimate shot. I've always been a fan of Tyrese and Joel from afar. And Joel has secretly been one of my closest all-star game friends. And so, it kind of felt inevitable that at some point we would link up and be teammates. I'm all in. My family's here all in. And I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this next opportunity.
All right. Well, we're up for questions. Please start with your name and affiliation. We'll start with Gina.
Gina Mizell from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Hi, Paul. Welcome to Philly. You just sort of touched on it with Joel and Tyrese, but just how do you feel like you fit in with those two in particular, and just maybe how you think you can enhance their games and how they can enhance your game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Tyrese has the youth. He has the legs, the speed, the quickness. Similar to when I played alongside Russ, just the opportunities he creates with his speed and his, you know, tempo to push the ball. I think I can space the floor for him and just, you know, be a veteran to kind of help him, you know, from a defensive side, offensively. I think we just complement each other so well. And same goes for Joel. You know, I've been watching their games and, you know, I know it's tough for him a lot of times to be able to play one-on-one from the block. Just because of the spacing and shooters around him. And so I'm looking forward to that, you know, giving him a chance to play, you know, his game and be aggressive on the block and, you know, be able to make quick moves to go score because there is that space there. And just, you know, being a late game performer, you know, someone to take a lot of pressure off both of those guys to close games out, to extend leads, to finish games. And so, you know, I'm again, just looking forward to just being on the floor with those two because I know they'll help me a ton.
And then just in the couple of weeks since you signed your contract, just can you describe what it's been like getting to know Coach Nurse, just sort of those initial conversations sort of in these early days that you've been part of this franchise?
Yes, it's a little early. We're still getting to know each other. But, you know, the time I've been around him has been awesome. You know, again, one of those people you learn from afar. And, you know, I see how hard his team plays and the respect that the players have for him goes a long ways. I was a teammate of Kawhi's, and Kawhi spoke highly of him. And so, you know, Kawhi speaks, you listen. I've learned that. So, I have, you know, utmost respect for Coach Nurse and looking forward to being coached.
Daryl, you mentioned the fit of these three guys together, and obviously you've done a lot of work around them, getting Kelly, getting Kyle back, getting Andre, Caleb, Eric, some of these other guys. What else do you think you need to do to get this group to the level you needed to really be the championship contender you want it to be?
Well, I was just talking to Coach Nurse, and, you know, Joel, Paul, and Tyrese are our partners in how do we put together the right group to win this. We feel great about the players we brought in, but as folks in Philly know, I always see that a team evolves during a season as we see things that are needed to address the team. We have draft picks that we could use. We're going to keep an open roster spot so that as we have injuries or the needs really arise where Coach Nurse sees something we need to do, we'll address those. And we feel like this is going to be a special season.
And Paul, you mentioned how you're all in on being here. Obviously, you've talked at length on your pod about sort of how negotiations went with the Clippers. But I was curious, as things played out, was there anywhere else you really thought about as a realistic option besides being in Philly once it got to that point with the Clippers? Or was this sort of the place you zeroed in on and why?
Yeah, I mean, I think Philly was number one for majority of free agency. Obviously there was other teams in play that I was contemplating on, but Philly was kind of number one because it kind of fit my game, it fit where I was at in my career, and like I said, it fit the trajectory that the team was going, and so it kind of made sense amongst the other options out there. And again, you know, I just went with my gut feeling. They made it feel like home from day one. And so at that point, it was kind of an easy decision.
Hey, what's up, Paul? Kai Carlin, Sixers Wire, USA Today. Just how important is training camp, I feel like, going to be this upcoming season in order to kind of begin the gelling process with you, Tyrese, Joel, learning what Nick Lent wants to run? How important is those couple of days really going to be for you to begin the season off the right way?
Real important. You know, I think training camps in general are really important to start a season out because you want to kind of get on the same page. You want to gel. You know, everything you mentioned, you got to click. And you got to be on the same page to start the year out. So it'd be really important. You know, I'm looking forward to it, to get right to it, get thrown right in it. You know, just be me. You know, that's the best thing that I can do is just bring what I bring, and just do it at a high level.
And then if I could just follow up, you've obviously played with a lot of superstars in the past. I guess, like, maybe what stands out to you about Joel, maybe similarities, differences that maybe you see from other stars you've ever played with before?
I mean, Joel's just a hard worker. You know, he's you can tell, you know, I've played with them all, from, you know, Russ, Kawhi. They all have the same intangibles, and that's, you know, super competitive, want to win against all odds, and work extremely hard. And so, you know, I see that same quality in Joel, which makes me excited to be alongside him out there. When you got guys that are willing to go through, I mean, I've seen it, you know, he played through injuries. He wanted to be on the floor. And that is what's most exciting. When guys, you know, are, you know, committed to, you know, being out there and playing hard and working hard. And so again, when it's compared to other, you know, stars that I play with, Joel has those same, you know, qualities that you look for when you want to be teammates with, you know, someone that's trying to win at a high level.
Paul Hudrick, Liberty Ballers. Hey, Paul, welcome to Philly. With respect to the other places you've been, Philly's a little bit different, a little bit more intense. I know you've gotten a crash course on the city and everything that comes with it, but just what has it been like for you kind of adjusting to that, and are you kind of looking forward to the opportunity to kind of be in that sort of environment?
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'm looking forward to it, honestly. At the end of the day, it's brotherly love, right? So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I think pressure is good. I think intensity is good. And you know, that's what you get up for. You know, you want the fans to be fired up. You want them to, you know, put that pressure on you to go out and perform and win games. That's our job. And so I'm looking forward to it. You know, be as critical and as hard as you can. I think it's going to work out for myself, and for the team. And so I'm looking forward to that. You know, I'm not scared or shying away from that at any point, at any stage. That's what you look forward to.
Dave and Lauren.
Hi, Paul. Dave Uram from KYW News Radio. Welcome to Philadelphia. You've gone on deep playoff runs before. This organization hasn't been past the second round in 23 seasons. So what do you think are the keys to getting past that second round? And obviously you want to go deeper than that.
I think for us, it's just finishing healthy.
You had to point that out.
Yeah. the interview was going so good. I think, you know, for us, staying healthy. But again, having another closer on the floor, another, you know, big shot maker, and just a defensive stopper. And I think just giving credit to the other guys that we have out there. You know, I think we are a pretty deep and complete team outside of myself, Joel, and Tyrese. And so I think that should be, you know, really what puts us over the hump. But again, it's more so just being there for those late game situations. I've been in, you know, tough games, tough series. I know what that looks like, and kind of know how to keep a locker room together in those moments. And so, you know, again, just using my leadership, what I've learned, and being around other guys to kind of help get us.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Through those tough moments.
Hey guys, Lauren Rosen, Sixers.com. Josh, this one's for you. When you think about the culmination of all the work that you put in over these last few years with Daryl, with Tyrese's patience to bring Paul George to this city, what's it like to look back on the journey and realize where you've gotten to, and how excited are you for the future?
Yeah, look, I mean, I just obviously credit the front office, Daryl, Elton, you know, Nick coming on board, Joel, Tyrese, and all of us being aligned, you know, around, you know, kind of where we are now with Joel, Tyrese, and just being all in, you know, for the city in terms of doing what we're supposed to do, which is to, you know, set the team up, you know, for a championship run, championship caliber team, and that's kind of where we are. And obviously the journey's not done, right? We got to deliver. So I'm just you know, excited that I think we are set up. I mean, obviously there's a long journey. You know, there's 82 game journey, and then there's playoffs, and everyone needs to stay healthy, but we're set up. And look, all of us are, it's hard not to be excited, right, about this team. You know, I've been here for the last 10 years, 12 years. And, you know, this is, you know, amongst, if not the best team that we've had since I've been here. So, listen, we know it's a long journey. The NBA is tough. I think we have the right people, the right leadership, and, you know, we're all in. And as Daryl said, we're not done. You know, Daryl and the front office have accumulated, you know, extra pit for, you know, a bunch of firsts. And, you know, we're not done as an ownership group in terms of our support. And so we're excited. Bring it on. All right, let's go.
We've all seen the reports, and you shared with us about bringing Dr. J with you to California to talk to Paul. What was it like for you guys to plan that meeting and then execute in such a cool way?
Well, look, when you're seeking Paul George on your team in free agency, basically you show up when you're told. We ran into a thunderstorm, so the good doctor cracked open a vodka. We hung out. It was a long journey. Paul and his family were very generous with their time. We were supposed to show up at 8. It was 11. So it was a late meeting, but it was free agency, right? And you got to be there, and you've got you're recruiting, right? You're selling your city, your situation to someone that has a lot of options. And it was an amazing – I think there was an amazing video. The Sixers team and the Sixers front office continue to really surprise me as to how creative they are. Many Philly celebrities, many fans showed up in Paul's living room. So it was a great day. I can't say I was exhausted, but you do what you got to do. It was a lot of fun.
Paul, Austin Krell, 97.3 ESPN. You've been a part of, you know, star level duos throughout your career, but this is the first time where, you know, the three guys are positionally 1, 3, 5, and they're all prior year all stars. I guess schematically, how does your job change at all compared to what it's been in the past?
I don't think much, honestly. I know what I'm out there to do, and that's ultimately put the ball in the basket and try to guard the best player on the other team. And so, again, with that, is, you know, at times, I know that during the course of a year, it's going to be a long season, but the three of us, I think, can carry a ton of that workload. I look forward to playing with such a presence in Joel. And I don't think I've played with someone at that level, at that size, that dominates. So really looking forward to what that looks like on the floor. You know, but to answer your question, I don't think it changes much. I know what I'm here to do, and, you know, just go out there and do my job.
And you said in your pod that you wanted to stay in L.A. if all things were equal. I guess, what have your impressions been of Philadelphia thus far that you've been around?
It's been nice. You know, it's been warm welcome, a warm welcoming since I've been here, from free dinners to, you know, good cheesesteaks. You know, so it's been warm welcoming. I think everywhere we've been so far has been a lot of love. You could tell the city is ready and thirsty to win, and so, you know, already I'm ready to get to work and put the hard hat on and go out and you know, try to compete for a championship. But it's been nothing but love since the second we've been here.
Kyle, what's that? Hey, Paul, over here. Kyle Newbeck, PHLY. You mentioned the secret all-star friendship with Joel to open the presser. I'm sure you know this. He's not exactly Mr. Social, keeps like kind of a close circle. So how did that relationship come about? And, you know, how involved was he throughout this summer other than what we saw on NBA Countdown?
It all started with the side eye.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just got that read from him. You know, I'm not much of a social guy in the all-star setting. You know, I kind of keep to myself. And so randomly, you know, he came to me and we just started talking, and this was all-stars, you know, a couple all-stars back. And then it got to a point where it was like, man, I look forward to talking to Joel this all-star weekend. And, you know, the next all-star comes on and here we are again, chopping it up. How's the kids? You know, how's this? You know, congratulations on shoe deal. Like, you know, we just over time just built, you know, a friendship. And, you know, I think what kind of hit it home is, you know, we had a conversation before these convos even started. We had a conversation, and, you know, it's basically like, man, he opened up to me. You know, I don't, you know, have a lot of people I talk to, I this, I that, I keep to myself. But he was like, man, regardless of what goes on, I look at you as someone that, you know, I want to be friends with for, you know, long part of my life. And that was deep to me, you know, that was deep to me because, you know, we knew each other, but, you know, we didn't know each other on that level yet. And for him to just open up to me, it kind of just, you know, it felt right. Like, you know, this is someone obviously that I get along with. We've spent a ton of time doing All-Star games. And so just at that point on, we kind of just built a stronger relationship to where it got, came to this summer. We talked and, you know, we kind of just had our ways of how this could work, what it looked like, us being out there together. And again, it just made sense. You know, at the end of the day, it just made sense. We both were kind of at the same level of what we wanted out of it. And we felt we could have helped each other. And, you know, I think our relationship's pretty strong.
And I guess, you know, basketball-wise, you've played every role from, like, undisputed number one guy when you started out in Indiana to L.A. It was dependent on the night, right? Kawhi's healthy, Kawhi's not, whatever it is. You're changing your role a lot. I guess what would you say to Joel and Tyrese is kind of the most important thing about, you know, being a member of, like, a big three like that and how to navigate that together?
It's easy, man. Just go win. Let's go win. Like, I don't – there's no ego with me. I think people took that context – took that out of context when we speak about my time in L.A. and, you know, the second option conversation. I think people kind of took that out of context. I just want to go win. I don't – it's not about shots for me. It's not about – you know, having the ball in my hands the whole game. It's about winning. I want to make winning plays. I know when, over a course of game, when I need to be aggressive, when I need to, you know, raise the level. But for me, it's about winning. That's all I care about, is trying to win, putting everything towards that. And that's really the conversation us three need to have, myself, Joel, and Tyrese. Whatever it takes, let's go do it. Let's get the job done. And then we just relay that to the team.
What's going on, Paul George? It's Zach Chavalella, Metro Philadelphia, Philly Sports Network. Welcome to Philly. And you mentioned earlier that you picked number 8 based on the influence of Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could speak on his influence to you a bit and what you would like your legacy in Philadelphia to be by the time your time's here done.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Kobe is Kobe. He's the reason. One of the reasons I picked up the basketball, being a Southern California kid, the biggest influence on me. And so, you know, obviously 13 is retired, 24 is retired. And the number 8 has an importance to me, something that every day when I put that jersey on, I needed something to remind me to go out there and be the best player that I can be. And the number 8 just, you know, fit perfectly. Him being someone that kind of grew up here as well in Philadelphia, it just kind of has so many meanings to me. And it just felt right to wear that number. And so that's just where the idea came from. And then from a legacy standpoint, you know, obviously if we win and get past the second round, you know, then we're on to something good. And hopefully it's a window that we can keep winning and winning at a high level and being successful. And so no better place to do it, to win in, than Philadelphia, to me, with the fan base, you know, just the passion that goes into sports here in Philadelphia. There's really no other place, you know, I wanted to align with and try to win in.
Set me up perfectly. Hey, Paul. Kate Scott. I'm looking forward to calling your games here for NBC Sports Philadelphia. Really excited you're here. But yeah, going back to the meeting, know, at least read about what it meant to have Dr. J there for your family. Saw you with the AI t-shirt. Mm-hmm. I'm a California kid like you, but even in Cali, you hear about the Sixers and you know what it means. So what does it mean for you to now be putting on the red, white, and blue here in Philly for the Sixers?
It means a lot. It means a lot. Again, you talk about passion, you talk about intensity, and you talk about that, you know, just hard workers that will and that desire to win. That's what got me to where I am today. Being a kid from California, grew up in a small city, I kind of wore that on my sleeves. So it fits perfectly being here in Philadelphia. So yeah, again, it comes to just perfect timing. This all came together and it's right where I want to be at this time.
And the question everybody really wants to know, we have all the, you know, the rich guys in the room now. Who really didn't want to take off their shoes at your house? Who was like really against
it? It was pretty easy. It was pretty easy. Everybody was you know, and it wasn't no house rule. I don't know even where it started. I guess one shoe came off and everyone followed. But it was funny. Thank you guys.
We're all
good home training.
We do as we're told.
We didn't know how important our socks were going to be that night. So.
Two more. We'll go to Dan than Dave.
Dan Galston, Associated Press. Paul, I mean, now that it's over, I mean, is there a tinge of regret or even bitterness with how it ended in L.A.? I mean, you obviously would have liked to have stayed there at some point. Steve yesterday said they made you a fair offer designed to continue to win championships there. It just wasn't what you wanted. Now that it's over, how do you kind of look back at the ending of your time there?
Amazing time there. No regret. Super thankful to Steve, to Lawrence. You know, they went out and gave me an opportunity to play home, which, you know, at that point in time was a ton of value for myself to be able to play in front of my family, my friends, and have a legitimate shot to chase a championship every season. Obviously, injuries kind of deterred us a little bit. But just to speak on that situation as a whole, there's no ill will. Again, forever grateful for the opportunity that they gave me to come back. It didn't work out. That's business. But, you know, I had to make the right decision for my family. And so, again, you know, I think both sides, we had a great mutual talk as it all played out. And I felt it was great closure on the situation. I'm happy for them. They're happy for me. And I'm a Sixer now, so that's behind me.
That's one, Dave.
David Murphy with the Philadelphia Inquirer. You mentioned health, obviously. I mean, it's such a big thing, but how do you actually control that? I mean, do you have any ideas on, you know, what you three can do to kind of get through this season and put yourself in a position to really go in full steam ahead?
Well, I think just taking the pressure off, again, Joel. I think it's fair to say, Nick, we don't want to see him isolating at the top of the key. I think I can kind of help him, you know, get through a season healthy. And again, it's just not putting so much pressure on him, regardless of how good you feel. I think pressure causes a lot of injuries as well. When you think you have to get through and play and, you know, have the touch every possession, and, you know, that kind of just wears you down, especially for how physical he is. And so that's just the key, is just, you know, everybody do their part. We play our part, make sure we work on our bodies, conditioned, and we just, you know, don't put that pressure on one individual to go out and win games for us.
And Daryl, I guess it's probably a question for you as well. I mean, is there anything you guys can do organizationally to manage the regular season in a different way from previous years?
Yeah, so Simon, in cooperation with Coach Nurse and Elton and myself, absolutely want to put together a plan to give them the best chance to be playing at their best basketball going into April. And that's something that'll be a conversation with Simon, Paul, Joel, Nick, and even Tyrese. You know, obviously he's had a good run and young legs, but, you know,
Kyle.
Well, we're gonna have, if we put Kyle in charge of that, he'd just say everyone plays 48 minutes, and but yeah, no, Kyle. We do have some, you know, Eric. We've got some guys that are really great veterans, as Nick just mentioned, And so the nice thing is we have the depth to get through the regular season and focus on the playoffs.
Thank you, guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.